what I find really important here is to note the fact that finding success is so relative, right? Success for you is not success for someone else. And what I remind people is that despite their misconception, the only way that we can find success is to first root into who we are authentically.
Hello, and welcome to the Mind Your Leadership podcast. Today, I'm happy to introduce Tyler Mount. Tyler, industry-leading branding and digital strategy expert, is the owner of Henry Street Creative. Tyler has served as a branding and business consultant, digital marketer, and social strategist for nearly 1,000 clients across 14 countries worldwide. Tyler's remarkable career has been featured in prestigious publications such as the New York Times, Forbes magazine, Medium, and Out magazine. Renowned for his non-traditional direct approach, Tyler is not only a sought-after keynote speaker, but also empowers business owners to take control of their enterprise and build empires. Join us as Tyler Mount shares invaluable insight and experience on leadership, branding, and building successful businesses. So, Tyler, thank you for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to start by a personal question, asking you if you can share with us the key moments or decision in your career that have led you to become a prominent figure in branding and digital strategy.
Oh, that's a good question. Look, you know, aren't all of our lives a major, you know, cacophony of monumental events, right, that led us to today? I couldn't say that there was one definitive moment, but, you know, the biggest moments that I can remember that really changed my career and changed my life here is, you know, first and foremost, this concept of starting my own business, right? I was put in a position, you know, through market conditions that I was laid off from a role that I was currently at. And then I started my own business. And this business that I started was an accident, right? I just needed a form of income. And then it scaled and grew to what it is today. So I would say that accidentally being laid off and then starting my business was a monumental decision I made. But, you know, I would also say really fostering and focusing on me and my personal brand has been a monumental step as well in terms of moving the needle of my business.
Interesting. And another personal question before we delve into the other things. Who and what has been the biggest influence on your approach to branding and business strategy?
I get asked similar questions all the time. I've never been asked this. I will tell you that the person I most admire in the entertainment space, believe it or not, is Oprah Winfrey.
I can't believe
am obsessed with her for many reasons. Not only is she an incredible human and gracious and giving, but also she has built a personal brand that is synonymous with her standard of excellence. Mm-hmm. She is self-made. By definition, she has overcome and overcame significant obstacles in order to get where she is. And her entire ecosystem is built around her. Her network is about her. Her show is about her. Her social media is about her. Now, of course, she's able to do incredible good in the world because of that. But not only because I love her and I grew up with her, but I also think that Oprah is a fantastic example of strong personal brand and how that permeates and influences both culture and the culture of her business organizations.
I couldn't agree more with you about Oprah. And also, I think it's a consensus, but let's take this, it's Oprah's understanding and Al Fondi, what does it mean to create your own brand? What is the process and what does she do great that we can learn from her?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first thing that I will say is the biggest misconception I hear is that, well, I work for a company. The company is the brand. Mm-hmm. I am a real estate agent. The real estate is the brand. I am a celebrity. The television show is the brand. When I need to remind people that that business only exists because of you, that TV show wouldn't be the same without you. Yes, I could have easily hosted a show called The Tyler Mount Show and had the same guests and done the same thing, but it would never have been the same as Oprah doing it. It wouldn't have been the same as you doing it. And that is the beauty of personal brand. Mm-hmm. So what I focus on with all of my clients is really leveraging who you are authentically as a human being. That's where we start. Number one, I need to better understand who you are as a consumer so that I can want to transact with you. Mm-hmm. The reason Oprah was so successful, one of many reasons, is because she's approachable. She's relatable. She came into people's home, and before we knew what, you know, what we now call a parasocial relationship was, AKA, I feel like I know Oprah, even though I've never met her. I know a lot about her because she invited me into her studio 5 days a week, right? And we have the same ability to harness that power in our own personal brands. And to that end, you know, I've represented multiple Fortune 100 CEOs or Fortune 500 CEOs. And what I always stress is, yes, you represent a company, but the way you run that company permeates the culture, it permeates the product, it permeates what the company stands for, which ironically drives business. So personal brand, understanding who you are at your core and what you stand for and leveraging that not only benefits you, but benefits everything you touch. And that's the key.
So if I recall what you're saying, first of all, finding our own flavor, being authentic, because, you know, I really believe that each and every one of us has a present, right, that he brings to the world. And finding this present, this is your uniqueness and your flavor, and we need to embrace it and show up. And the second thing that I'm hearing, it's being going forward, it's being authentic and also vulnerable, because actually Oprah also being vulnerable, available, approachable, but also vulnerable, showing weaknesses and not showing the coherent identity, I'm a successful woman. I think this is also something that resonate with the new leadership, the more feminine leadership, the more emotional intelligence aspect. What do you say about it?
Yeah, you know, showing the humanity in who you are isn't weakness. It's actually a fantastic strength. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying that as a therapist. I'm certainly not a therapist. But by showing your humanity, you relate with more people, which makes them want to do business with you. And let's be clear, I'm not talking about doing business in the traditional sense. Someone following you on social is them agreeing to do business with you. You watching someone's television show is you indirectly agreeing to do business with them. And by, you know, using Oprah as an example here, we have been with her for decades. We have seen her very public struggles with weight loss. We have seen her struggles with health. We have seen her be very open about sexual assault from a young age and being the victim of racism her entire life and overcoming that and finding, you know, lost family members. And one of the many reasons, to your point, is because she shows that humanity. Yes, she's approachable, but she's incredibly vulnerable. And so I ensure that not only with my content, but also with the content of my clients, yeah, we want to show up and put our best foot forward and make sure that we show people that we're the real deal. But at the same time, we have to be a human. No one wants to interact and transact with someone who always has their life together, who is perfect and flaw-free. It actually is just ostracizing. So although it might sound counterproductive or counterintuitive, by showing up and being a human being and being vulnerable and showing weakness, in addition to showing your successes, of course, that is how we create a comprehensive, really powerful and solid ecosystem.
You know, so let's go forward. With nearly 10,000 clients under your belt, what are some common challenges or misconceptions you've observed in the business you have consulted for, and how have you helped them overcome them beyond? Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I talk about this all the time. I talked about this with a client yesterday. One of the worst words in business is the word should. I should do this. I should act this way. I should dress this way. Why? Because that's what insert any profession does. Well, I need to act like Oprah because that's what Oprah did. I need to act like Richard Branson because that's what a successful CEO does. I need to act like this politician because this politician is in office. When in reality, should just actually puts constraints on us that forces us to be inauthentic. So the number one thing and the misconception that I find is people come to me and say, well, I'm doing this on social because that's what I should do. That's what real estate agents do. That's what business owners do. And I say, says who? Who wrote the book? There is no book. Mm-hmm. And so what I find a lot of my work really diving into is rewriting these narratives that human beings, myself included, have that are a representation of potentially friends, family, but most importantly, society, right? I want you to be an authentic podcast host because that's what you deserve, not because another podcaster has a strategy that's successful. Well, guess what? That isn't going to work for you the same way. Your strategy and being authentic in who you are is going to work best for you. That's the most common misconception I try to rewrite.
That's amazing. And you know, I think it's important to say that you can see another person, another podcaster, another author, another whatever, a business owner, as an inspiration and say, okay, it resonates something within me that I want to achieve, but how can I find my own voice, my own way to bring my added value to the world, to bring my presence? Otherwise, I will be a copy-paste of him. And I will, as you said, I won't succeed. You know, it reminds me also in a negotiation. And when you adopt the language of the other person, you won't succeed because it's not yours. You need to find your own voice. And I think this is the main challenge that we face as leaders, right? As business owners, because we are playing in the social game and there are rules there and we like need to adapt. But sometimes we can change the rules, right?
Absolutely. You could not be more correct. You know, what I stress here in a scenario like this is really simple. The overwhelming majority, I'll say 99% of my clients come to me for many reasons, but one of those reasons is almost always they want to achieve more. They want to achieve more success. And what I find really important here is to note the fact that finding success is so relative, right? Success for you is not success for someone else. And what I remind people is that despite their misconception, the only way that we can find success is to first root into who we are authentically. And the number one thing that I get back from that is, well, what if people don't like me for who I am? And then I remind them some very, very easy facts about human behavior, right? No matter who you are, no matter what you stand for, there will always be a group of people that do not like you for that. People do not like me because there are people on earth who wouldn't want to work with me because I'm a man. People don't want to work with me because I'm gay. People don't want to work with me because I'm loud and over the top and really, really energetic, right? Whether you're in America, whether you're Democratic or Republican, male, female, transgender, gay, straight, non, like no matter who you are, no matter what you stand for, there are people on earth who do not agree with it, right? And so once you recognize no matter what you do, even including acting like someone you're not, you're still going to ostracize people, right? Because there are a lot of people on earth who want to be Jeff Bezos, and there are a lot of people on earth who would murder Jeff Bezos if they could, right? Mm-hmm. Because of their assumptions of what he stands for, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of the validity, my point stands. Even being as successful as Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, what many people aspire to in terms of business success, there's a huge faction of people who don't like them because of that. So that's what I always remind people, that finding your authenticity is obviously important. But beyond that, no matter who you are, there's going to be dissent. So you might as well be authentic in that.
Yes, this is actually, I think, a great point, because I think a lot of leaders and entrepreneurs are a little bit fear of being rejected and not being loved. But at the end of the day, what I understand is that if you're not showing up fully with your true voice and colors. If people won't feel antagonized toward you, so it means that you're not bringing yourself fully. So you're always pleasing everybody. So what is your flavor? Who are you? So you won't be successful because people are looking for the uniqueness in you. But I think I'm going back to the mindfulness and conscience aspect, because as I see it, you know, I think it's a deeper process for leaders to, first of all, love themselves, to connect to ourselves, to accept ourselves. I think this is the root of being able to go forward to create our own brand. So what do you think about it, and how do you approach this? Because I think this, when you work with the root of self-love and accepting ourselves, then we can show up fully in the world. But it's a long process.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very long and difficult process. And I would never sit here and say that I've mastered it, right? I am in the camp of fake it until you make it. So half the time that I'm being wildly confident, it's exclusively because I know I don't have another option, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I focus on in terms of self-love is quite simple. I remind myself that if I do not love myself, I am the only person that I can control my love, right? And so I deserve to be loved. And there are days I don't feel that way, but I still say it, okay? And I have learned through my journey in life, like everybody's journey in life, there will always be someone there with you and for you. And you want to make sure that that person is there with you and for you, not for this version of you you're trying to create. And let's be clear, almost every human being, I would argue every human being has done this in life, in you know, elementary school, in primary school, in high school, right? We try to assimilate in order to fit in. Oh, I love that song. I love that show. I love playing the sport. Why? Because it makes us feel a sense of belonging. It's not until you can say, I'm going to be authentically who I am, regardless of my community around me, that you find your real community. And I say all of that to be like, it wasn't until I pursued a career in the arts. It wasn't until I came out. It wasn't until I really started to own who I was and be wildly confident in who that person is that my life started to change. And the final thing I'll add here to your question is a really simple fact that confidence begets confidence. The more confident you act, even if you don't believe it, the more opportunity you get, which means you have more reason to be confident. It is a vicious cycle in the most positive of connotations, right? So that's what I really focus on.
So you actually create leaders and business owners to connect to their self-confidence and take the leap of faith and take things, although they are not so confident. So you actually help them be more confident in themselves, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely it. I always remind people, you know, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Oprah Winfrey, not to talk about her again, was fired from her first job as a news reporter. The story of loss and quote unquote failure from some of the most prolific minds on earth should actually be just so incredibly reassuring. If Oprah failed, I'm just in good company then, right? There was a time that Amazon had less than $1,000 in sales, right? They make $1,000 in less than a second easily. You know what I mean? So it's all relative. And that's what I remind people of. We have to start somewhere, and we can't compare our chapter 3 to someone else's chapter 40.
I want to go back to ask you about your approach, because you say that your approach to branding is described as a non-traditional and direct. Actually, I felt it at the beginning. Could you elaborate on what this means and how it has contributed to your success, to your personal brand?
Yeah, absolutely. So my non-traditional approach is always through the lens, like I said earlier, of the person, right? So theoretically say I get hired by a large publicly traded organization that everyone has heard of. A traditional marketer is going to say, okay, how can I sell more, let's say, clothing at this store? Mm-hmm. I'm going to run traditional marketing efforts. I'm going to do paid advertisement. I'm going to do digital marketing. I'm going to be on social media, right? all of those things are valid. I'm not saying that they don't have their place. They certainly do, and they're effective within certain, you know, restrictions. However, what I focus on are the individuals who are running the organization, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have learned statistically that if people know, like, and trust the leaders of the organization, it matters much less about the product they are selling. So what I mean by that is if we, you know, like the perfect example in terms of a person today who has captured this essence is someone like Taylor Swift. She is incredibly polarizing because you have people who are obsessed with her. You have people who hate her for whatever reason. But I will tell you, she is an incredible business person. She's incredible because she's not stupid, and she understands that by being relatable and kind and approachable, she actually sells a lot more music. People have a parasocial relationship with her. They mm-hmm. think they know her. They think they're friends with her. And so they will not even blink at spending $1,200 on a ticket to go see her in concert. The same person with the same exact music, with the same exact talent, who isn't approachable, would never sell out a stadium, right? It is all about how she shows up in the cultural and social space. And so focusing on the person versus, let's say, the music mm-hmm. is the key here. And the person is the thing that actually sells the music, right? And that's how I approach all of my business and all of my clients' businesses. How can we make you the best version of you so people want to work with you no matter what you touch? And the most important fact of this is it doesn't just bring validity to your current business. It brings validity to everything you touch in the future. So I'm not just here to market your current company. Yes, of course, that's a natural byproduct of my work. I'm here to market you and everything you do forevermore. And that's the real value here. Focus even larger than the company you're currently working on.
Yeah. So again, it circles back to that you actually help leaders and business owners to connect to their true selves, to find themselves, and then they will succeed. Because again, it's fine. And this is the long process of going through in this journey, because it's a process. As you said, we learn stuff and we fail and we need to adapt a growth mindset, right? Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fail, and we need to continue on. And I think it's a process. And actually, as I see it, the brand, the company, it's a reflection of who we are. And as we'll be more clear about ourselves and we'll have clarity, then we can also resonate it and vibrate it to the environment, to our clients, to the people that we want to resonate with, right?
Exactly right.
So Taylor, for those aspiring to follow in your footsteps, what advice would you give to someone starting their journey in the world of branding and digital strategy today?
Absolutely. So to summarize, I would say the number one thing to remember is that authenticity and being who you are, no matter your industry, no matter where you work, is the single most important factor in growing your business, period, full stop. Now, this is not something you wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be authentic and it's done. It is something you have to exercise. It's something you have to work on every single day to move in that direction. I have to make a conscientious effort every single day, even before getting on this podcast to speak to you, that no matter who you are, no matter what you're going to ask me, I'm going to show up and give you my authentic self and give you my authentic truth, right? And so exercising that and really leaning into that long term is what is absolutely paramount here. And then you'll start to find out that A, people who don't agree with you or don't like your authentic self don't bother you, okay? They just go off somewhere else. And the people that are meant to be in your life, your tribe, as we oftentimes say, will surround you in those moments because they want to be around you, not for the person you're trying to become. That relieves so much tension and so much pressure and so much stress and allows you to find joy in your personal and professional life. Authenticity is the number one thing that will drive business, not only today, but for the foreseeable future.
I couldn't agree more. And yes, it's the essence of success. And I think also authenticity aligns us with our own values, with our own success, right? Meaning of success, because success for you is not the success for me. And this will help us find our own path and uniqueness. Tyler, before we need to wrap up, is there any question that I didn't ask you and you want to share with our listeners?
You know, not entirely. You know, I would say that my entire career has been built on being authentic and showcasing that. I would say my entire career has been built on inspiring and empowering others to find their truth and leverage that. And, you know, the thing that I'll just drive home is that every single person listening, every person not listening is capable of doing this and finding it. And I swear to you, your life will be better for it. Your business will be better for it. And the people that you work with will be better for it as well, because you'll inspire them to do the same. And imagine the greatness and the success that we can find when we all do this together.
But you know, and practical women, what can they do? Okay, you told us, okay, find your authentic self. It's a big, big journey and a big step. What can they do tomorrow morning practically, differently, a little different, in order to start paving this path?
Absolutely. The number one thing that we can do, and I tell all of my clients this, is to delete the word should from their vocabulary. If you start policing yourself, not only mentally, but verbally, this idea of should, okay? Even in an email this morning to one of my employees, I write, I think we should do this. And she responded and said, says who? And that is such a profoundly important call out. The amount of business decisions, the amount of personal decisions we make because we think there's an unwritten rule is devastating to business, and it's devastating to our personal lives. So the number one thing that I remind people of, which we can start immediately, is to police ourselves to ensure the word should doesn't come out of our mouths. But most importantly, we're not basing decisions on a preconceived idea. Well, I need to fire this person because I should, or I need to retain this employee because I should, or I should dress this way in business because I should, right? Eradicating that from our vocabulary and our thought process is something that is black and white. I'm not saying you won't have the impulse, but we can easily say, you know what? I'm not going to say the word should. That's what I would start with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So you're actually inviting people to ask themselves, what do they want to do? What is their desire? What is their viewpoint? And to change the perspective of the society and what we need to do through our inner voice and navigate in our life and taking ownership, right? For our businesses, for our lives, for our pet. So I really love it, and it's a really practical and challenging thing to do, because our mindset is actually required to see what's happening in the society, to feel belonging, to feel loved. And if I won't be loved, so they reject me. Yes, I think this is the process that we all need to go. And once we succeed, it resonates and we can attract the right people. And sometimes we have pitfalls on the way and we need to deal with them to find our strengths. Tyrus, thank you very much for this enriching and inspiring conversation. If people want to reach out for you to help them with the branding, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've built a career on a concept that lighting someone else's candle doesn't extinguish my own. The idea of me helping you doesn't make me less successful. It actually makes us both more powerful. And so I and my team and I give free consultations, truthfully, no catch, free consults and free audits to any person who goes to my website and signs up for one. Tyler G. Mount, TylerGMount.com. Sign up for a time with one of my strategists on my team. We'd love to chat with you, talk you through how we can elevate or how you can elevate your personal brand, drive more customers, drive more success, and really find that joy in business. And then, of course, if you want to follow me on social or LinkedIn, you can follow me at Tyler G. Mount.
Tyler, thank you very much. It was a really joyful conversation and inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed the conversation. You're invited to subscribe to our podcast in order to know when we upload a new episode and follow us on social media. Thank you for listening. Until next time, take care and bye-bye.